Our readings today speak to the heart of our Catholic identity, that of being instruments and channels of God's mercy. And when I say mercy, I don't mean in some generic intellectual way, but in visible ways that change lives. This is what people saw in Jesus. This is what people saw in St. Paul. People were captivated and drawn to them. The Thessalonians were captivated by the joy they saw in St. Paul, even amidst great persecution. And imitating them, other towns around them were then inspired and captivated by the Thessalonians. It was because of their witness that people wanted to understand, what was Jesus' way of thinking? What was it about Paul and Jesus that caused them to reflect the joy of the Holy Spirit, that caused them to have this confidence in the promises of God? And so the question the Pharisee asks of Jesus is, in effect, what is your fundamental view of how we should please God? And the direction that Jesus expresses in the two commandments isn't exactly following the general approach of the rabbis of his day. Now, on one hand, the first commandment, Jesus is faithful to the Jewish tradition, repeating that commandment from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God. But please note that for both Jews and Christians, this isn't some sentimental, touchy-feely kind of love. It's a love of covenant faithfulness. It's a matter of willing and doing what God asks of us, kind of like doing the right thing in your family, whether you feel like it or not. On the other hand, with the second commandment, Jesus highlights the law of the love of neighbor from Leviticus. And that tenet wasn't part of the central thought of Judaism. However, it becomes essential in Christian theology and Christian evangelization. It's shown in the way that we evangelize. We evangelize through love of God and self-sacrifice for our neighbors. Everything is summed up in those two commandments, but then we need it explained for us in more concrete ways. And so Jesus does that for us through his words as well as through his actions. The way he encounters others reveals to us areas that are distinct to the followers of Christ, areas that we would probably overlook had Jesus not revealed them to us. Jesus teaches us what he means by love of neighbor when he says things like, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The radical forgiveness that the Father showed to the prodigal son. That unexpected compassion shown by the Good Samaritan. Jesus' countercultural proclamation of the good news to tax collectors and prostitutes. In other words, Jesus emphasizes our identity of being instruments of God's mercy. When I visited the Holy Land, we had a Franciscan priest who was our guide who had lived in the Holy Land for 17 years, and he explained the uniqueness of the Christian way of life. We take it for granted. But he said, living in Jerusalem, a good Jew will help a fellow Jew who's in need. And a good Muslim, he will help a fellow Muslim in need. The Christians will help anybody because it's a part of our identity as followers of Jesus. These emphasize that the pinnacle of love of neighbor is mercy to those who have the greatest need. In that first reading, we're told that women and children deserved special protection. And that's because in ancient Israel, they were legally helpless. So too were the foreigners who came into Israel to work. God warns the Israelites, if you oppress them and they call out to me, I will hear them because I am compassionate. Nonetheless, this teaching isn't a central part of Judaism. The Jewish rabbis would not have highlighted this as one of their top two commandments, but it's clearly central to Jesus of Nazareth. quoting God's words through the prophet Hosea, Jesus says, learn the meaning of these words. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The apostle James would write in his epistle, for judgment is merciless on the one who has not shown mercy. And who can forget Jesus' powerful parable? I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And these will go off to eternal punishment. Being instruments of God's mercy is at the heart of our Catholic identity. Are we living that identity? Are we revealing to others how the gospel is transforming our life? People are watching. People are watching us, hoping that the gospel is true. I'm always amazed at what God does when we choose to take small steps. You know, last July, my wife and I were prompted to start an Aiken chapter of something called Life Runners. And the idea behind it is so simple, and there's no running involved, despite what it sounds like. On the first Wednesday of each month, all of the members wear their jersey, their shirts in public that day, and then as many as possible gather in a public place, such as a park or a restaurant, and they just enjoy each other's company. And the message on the shirt is simple and non-confrontational. It says, remember the unborn, Jeremiah 1:5. But even that simple witness matters. One day we were in a restaurant and a man came up to a group of us and just literally handed one of us $100 and said, please give this to the parent organization. Or others will walk up and want to know more or thank us for that quiet witness. That little step has led us to having over 50 members now here in Aiken. And in fact, after Mass, you're going to see some of our crew outside handing out baby bottles to help support the Aiken Pregnancy Center, a very important work of mercy in our community. What Jesus' response in the gospel means is that we don't have to be eloquent defenders of all of his teachings. We need to be good at the basics. Love the Lord your God and be instruments of his mercy. That is enough to make us models that will be attractive to the world. That's the powerful witness of religious orders like the Missionaries of Charity and the Franciscans. Elsewhere in our parishes, people look to the great work, the service, the compassion that's being given by our St. Vincent de Paul Society, by our Catholic Women's Association. And they see the love of Jesus Christ communicated through them. These groups and many others are living both the love of God and extending his mercy to others. You see, Jesus' answer really isn't about the law, and it really isn't about obligation. It's about us. Do we really understand love, or are we just going through the motions? Are we living a caricature of real love? To love God and be an instrument of mercy is another way of saying, love God and then love everybody the way God loves them. And that isn't always easy. So let us become vibrant missionaries of Jesus by putting into practice the corporal works of mercy, like visiting the sick, reaching out to the homebound, helping to attend to the needs of those who are imprisoned. Let us become beautiful witnesses of Jesus in our homes, our schools, and our workplaces by fostering the spiritual works of mercy, like correcting sinners, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving offenses, and praying for the living and the dead. Let us embrace this glorious identity which is ours, those who love God with our whole beings, and those who are instruments of God's mercy to others. Because if we allow this mercy to be at the forefront of our lives, we will become models that affect positive change in the lives of others. Even more, though, we will lead them to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ.